From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. We're coming to you live this week from Tanglewood, the legendary venue that used to be known for quality entertainment. This week, we'll ask about a disaster that struck the heart of our beverage program, the reason everybody you know seems to be entering a wet t-shirt contest, and Governor Deval Patrick, at the end of his two terms, will tell us what he really thinks of the people of Massachusetts. All that, plus Bill Curtis surveys the scene after an NPR party rages into the night.
There is a lake of wine on the floor.
We'll ask where that lake really was on our quiz coming up right after this hour's news.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm entrancing anchorman Bill Curtis, and here is your host at Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Now, come on. I thought you were genteel here. It is great to be back here at the Music Shed at Tanglewood. Now, of course, this place is best known as the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. But we're proud to say that after our successful show a year ago right here, well, the musicians learned a thing or two about how to do it right. Some of the traditionalists don't like it, but as far as we're concerned, you have not heard the 1812 Overture until you've heard it done entirely with fart sounds. Whatever your taste, we know you want Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine. Now is the time to get it. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sophie, and I'm calling from Portland, Maine.
Hey, Sophie, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Portland, Maine, up the coast, a ways from here. Do you like all good Mainers? Are you a native Mainer?
I am not. I'm an import.
You're an import. So you haven't learned to hold Massachusetts residents in the kind of fear and contempt that is traditional among Mainers.
Well, I'm married to a man from Massachusetts, and I've lived here long enough that I know what they mean.
Right. You've learned the hard way. Well, welcome to the show, Sophie. Let me introduce you to our great panel this week. First up, a writer for Real Time with Bill Maher. It's Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Sophie.
Next, a comedian performing September 19th at the Midland Theater in Kansas City, Missouri, Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Sophie.
Hi, Paula. Huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
And a writer and humorist whose newest book is Alphabet Her Juice and lives just down the road in Western Massachusetts. It's Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Roy.
You're a big fan?
Okay.
That's all right.
Well, Sophie, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, as is traditional, with Who's Bill? This time, Bill Curtis is now going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to play?
Yes.
Here it is. Here is your first quote.
Ah, that's gold.
Bill was just simulating right now, doing something that just about everybody and their dogs and their cats are doing, and then posting to the internet. What is it?
That's the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yes, the Ice Bucket Challenge. Yes, well done. So, as everybody knows, this is the thing. The idea is you donate $100 to fight ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, or you dump a bucket of ice water in your head. Most people do both. This has been one of the most successful fundraising campaigns ever. It's brought in almost $100 million this summer.
Wow.
This is true. It's amazing. This is a charity that raised less than $3 million last year. Somewhere, Lou Gehrig is like, you couldn't have thought of this. 75 years ago? I think wherever he is, he's revising the luckiest man statement.
Yeah. Not so lucky. As I thought.
Have you guys done this? Have any of you been challenged? Because, of course, as you also know, the idea is you do it, then you challenge other people to do it, and it sort of spreads.
My six-year-old son was challenged.
Was he?
And he rose to the challenge.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know where he's going to find the money, though.
Yeah.
Maybe we've just been desensitized because I've seen so many videos of so many people doing it. And let's face it, ice water over your head, not that impressive. You want my money, try the boiling water challenge. People are being imaginative with their approaches online. For example, Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, did a video of himself building an elaborate device to dump the water on him, and then you watch him wait an hour while it reboots. Here, Sophie, is your next quote.
There is a lake of wine on the floor.
That was a winery owner reporting on the real victims of what tragedy last weekend?
The earthquake in California.
Yes, the earthquake is specifically in Northern California, Napa, Sonoma, wine country. The entire public radio community came together this week to mourn the tragedy in Northern California. Very few people were injured, but the losses in decent drinkable wines were devastating. We winced at all the images of thousands of broken wine bottles. You know that that one guy in Napa who's been collecting boxed wine was feeling smug.
Yeah.
It was so heartwarming to see the global outpouring of goodwill toward the victims of the earthquake. Jimmy Carter himself came in to help, and he found out he wasn't helping out Somalia. He was helping out Somaliers.
All I know is that there are a lot of fine, lonely cheeses out there tonight.
Oh, yeah. No, FEMA merely airlifted in water crackers, so where rescue workers and survivors could continue to cleanse their palates.
Well, it was a bad storm, but it had a nice bouquet, if you were there.
Here, Sophie, is your last quote.
It is perfectly acceptable to binge-watch Netflix for 12 hours a day, but if you tell someone you did this for a few hours, you're treated like a weirdo.
That was a weirdo. He was talking to Vice Magazine about Twitch TV. Ooh. That internet channel was recently purchased by Amazon for almost $1 billion. And on that TV channel, that online channel, you can do what?
Watch video game competitions or video game streaming.
Right, yes. You watch other people play video games.
Who knew?
This is amazing. Amazon paid, like I said, almost $1 billion to buy an online video network that just shows other people playing video games. We thought watching other people play video games is something only women with awful boyfriends had to do. So who wants to do this? Turns out millions of people, more people watched one tournament on Twitch than watched the finales of The Sopranos and Breaking Bad combined. Ooh. It's hugely popular. You thought playing video games was the laziest thing you could do. Yeah, we knew what you were doing. You guys were trying to get us to move our thumbs. Well, not anymore, suckers.
What if, okay, you know what would make it worse? If you were watching it on your couch and you had beside your couch those carpeted stairs for your dog to use to walk up onto your couch.
Yeah.
That would be like a step lower.
What if you had, like Amazon, you know, they're getting into all kinds of businesses. What if they sell a TV that had like motorized wheel that turns it sideways so you can just lie in the couch? You don't have to get up. You can just lie there.
Okay. Well, that you might be onto something.
Yeah.
I was kidding, but that might be genius.
Yeah. And then the Amazon bedsore drone will come by every 6 hours to turn you.
Watching other people play video games, you know, all right, I admit that that's not always the most exciting thing, but some of the fan fiction about watching other people play video games.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's much crazier than watching people do radio.
You know, you make a good point, Roy.
You know, I feel it's bringing America and family life to its knees, the video game stuff. I hate it with every fiber in my body. But when people defend it, they always say, like, it's good for head-eye coordination. That's what it's good for, head-eye coordination. Like, as if we had been experiencing an enormous deficit in our country. As if, you know, that's what's wrong with our schools.
People are accidentally pouring ice on their heads every day, Paul.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think they could use a little more.
Like,
it turns out all those people were just trying to make a drink, and the next thing you know. Bill, how did Sophie do in our quiz?
I think Sophie did wonderfully. 3-0. Good for you.
Well done. She's very good, Sophie. You were on it.
Sophie was unbelievable.
Well, you win Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. Congratulations, Sophie, and thanks for playing.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. We want to remind everybody that next week we will be back at our home theater at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. You can come see us there. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, and you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, it is time once again for you guys to answer some questions about the week's news. We have some for you right here. Adam, you remember those famous Life Alert ads that everybody used to make fun of?
Fallen and I can't get up.
Right. You know, there's this grandmother with great hair, and she's lying there, and she goes, oh, I have fallen and I can't get up. And we've been making fun of that.
Did you say gray hair or great hair?
Great. Okay. Really good hair.
Yes, she did.
Particularly for a woman who's fallen to the floor. She looks good, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Well, they've updated the ads, but now viewers are complaining. They're even demanding the TV stations stop broadcasting the new Life Alert ads. Why?
I'm guessing, because I've seen the new Life Alert ads, because they're so scary.
That's exactly right.
They are terrifying. You watch this woman tumble down a staircase and then a shark eats her or something. It's just terrible.
No. So in this new ad, which I cannot recommend you watch because it will haunt your dreams.
Don't Google this.
The camera wanders through this empty house while you hear the plaintive, horrible cries of a woman who has, in fact, fallen and cannot get up.
And the camera's at the top of the stairs.
Yeah,
She's at the bottom.
And it points down, and it kind of like, the camera fades out on her crumpled, weeping form just as you hear the wolves approaching.
I don't think there are wolves.
You think I imagine the wolves?
You might have imagined the wolves.
The wolves are pretty terrifying.
The way I imagine the clown there in the corner.
So this is the trend now. Instead of an actor obviously faking it, we're going to get ads with the stark truth of what awful thing the product they're selling is supposed to prevent. Ooh. If this becomes a trend, Viagra ads are going to be awful. Coming up, extra, extra, it's a newspaper bluff the listener. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Ooh. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. Source America, its Pathways to Careers program matches skills with employment options for people with significant disabilities. SourceAmerica.org. And Angie's List, offering consumer reviews for more than 19 years in providing online shopping and scheduling for local services at AngiesList.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and we are playing this week with Adam Felber, Paula Poundstone, and Roy Blunt, Jr. And here again is your host in Tanglewood, Lenox, Massachusetts, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
It's Jack Way in Washington, D.C.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
Just peachy.
Did you say... Did you say your name is Jack Way?
Way. Jack Way, yes.
Huh. Right. It's like, do you ever use that? Like when talking tough to your kids, like, and that's the Jack Way.
Jack Way or the highway.
Yeah. Right. No, never quite thought of that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Jack, it's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which humans try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Jack's topic?
Prince is not dead.
You probably are hearing that newspapers are dying. That's because they are. It's really sad. However, this week, we heard about one newspaper that is fighting back, that is not going gently into that good night. Guess the true story of a newspaper fighting back, and you'll win Scorekeeper Emeritus and newspaper reader Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. First, let's hear from Paula Poundstone.
Morale at many newspaper offices has been low since the digital revolution has put an iceberg-sized hole in the hull of their business model. But the writers and staff at the New York Times arrived at work today to a spirit-lifting extravaganza. Excerpts of the Broadway hit show Newsies right on the front steps of their iconic building. The characteristic pluck and grit that has long been the hallmark of newspaper folk may well sustain the industry until our financial houses can be put in order, claims publisher Arthur Ox Sulzberger Jr. And that's what this is all about, a celebration of our do-or-die spirit. Many of the staff waiting to enter the building didn't seem to view it that way. Most waited silently, staring at their smartphones, while grown men in knickers leaped, tapped, and belted out songs in front of them. Newsies is about the underage abused workers who struck against the newspaper companies, said a bewildered David Brooks. Following a group of employees seeking an alternative entrance, this industry is doomed. Backwards, it would be cease when, said Will Shortz, still looking exhausted from the recent World Sudoku Conference where he was keynote speaker. Columnist Maureen Dowd seemed enthralled. There are so many colors, she gushed.
The New York Times tries to encourage morale with its staff by importing the cast of Newsies to do the show right there in front of the building. Your next story of something new in newspapers comes from Adam Felber.
Have you ever been nostalgic for the days when our newsrooms were filled with the sound of typewriters, dozens of them, clacking busily away as desperate copywriters on deadline scurried to churn out their scoops? Well, this week, some journalists are starting to become nostalgic for the days after that noise went away, because for staffers at Rupert Murdoch's Times of London, it's back. Not the typewriters, just the sound. As part of an experiment to make journalists feel more productive and connected, a large speaker has been placed on a tall stand in the middle of the floor for the express purpose of loudly piping in the clattering sounds of the busy newsrooms of yesteryear. A Times competitor, The Independent, points out that most staffers won't get that nostalgic thrill because it's been 30 years since newspapers did away with typewriters and 20 years since one of Murdoch's other holdings, Fox News, did away with news. And though The Times' Lucia Adams calls it, quote, a playful idea, a helpful Twitter response suggested, quote, why don't they just pump in the noise of screaming tortured souls in hell?
The Times of London tries to inspire its newsroom to live up to the ink-stained wretches of yesterday by piping in the sound of typewriters into the newsroom. Your last story of a newsroom innovation comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
Young people are going back to vinyl for music, so why not to paper for news? So the San Francisco Chronicle has set up a special IT line for people who, having grown up online, want to learn how to operate a paper newspaper. Odie Milo, who oversees the new helpline, says the most frequently asked question is, where do I click to get like audio and video? We tell them it's not really about clicking at all. Then, when they've sort of absorbed that, we talk them through the process of turning actual physical pages. They love it when we give them tips like, when you have trouble separating two pages, try licking your fingers. Other questions Odie Milo has fielded are, it's so big. Why does it have to be so big? And mine won't update. It's stuck on last Wednesday.
All right. One of these newspapers tried something to sort of make their newspaper powerful and exciting and relevant again. Was it from Paula Poundstone, the New York Times, that brought in the cast of the Broadway musical Newsies to perform right there in front of the building to inspire their own Newsies? From Adam Felber, the Times of London, which is piping in typewriter noises so it sounds just like it did back in the day of Woodward and Bernstein? Or from Roy Blunt Jr., the San Francisco Chronicle, which set up an IT helpline to help people deal with the newfangled technology of physical paper? Which of these is the real story of an innovation in the news business?
Well, Peter, as much as I appreciate Paula's story and Roy's story and being in IT, I certainly appreciate Roy's story. I have to go with Adam's story on this one.
You're going to choose Adam's story. This is the Times of London. Typing and typewriter noises. Well, to bring you the real story, we're proud to speak to someone who is familiar with this story.
They have set up speakers in the heart of the newsroom to pipe in sound of the clacking of a typewriter.
That was NPR's own David Folkenflik, our media reporter. His book about the Rupert Murdoch Empire is Murdoch's World, so he knows all about Rupert Murdoch's paper, the London Times, and their new practice of piping in typewriter noise. Congratulations. You got it right. Well done. You earned a point for Adam.
Thank you.
For being precise and knowledgeable, you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your very own home voicemail, whatever you got. Congratulations.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. And now the game where people who have nothing left to prove don't bother trying to prove anything. It's called Not My Job. Deval Patrick was born in the south side of Chicago, but came east when he couldn't get into the University of Chicago, and instead went to his safety school, Harvard. It's disappointing, as you can imagine. He did okay anyway. He was elected governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in 2006, and as he finishes his second and final term in that office, he clearly no longer cares because he's agreed to join us here. Governor Patrick, welcome.
Thank you.
To Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Peter.
Some people, Governor Patrick, have said that your rise to the senior position in statewide office was unusual or surprising for a number of reasons, but let's admit it, it's because with a name like Deval Patrick, everybody thought you were Irish.
True. Right? Mm-hmm. That is true.
Did that help?
That did help.
Yeah.
That did help. But we didn't use photographs, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, in reality...
Mostly radio ads.
Radio ads.
Exactly.
And he often referred to his shillelagh.
Yeah. In reality, of course, and I'm proud to say, as an adopted Chicagoan, you're from the south side of Chicago.
That's right.
Right.
And you're from Massachusetts.
I spent a lot of time growing up here in Massachusetts. You and I have traded places.
Own it,
places.
Man. Oh, just
no.
Say
I'm proud
of it.
I would.
He doesn't get to be.
I would, except I feel that I didn't really earn the right to say that I grew up in Massachusetts.
Also, you're from New Jersey.
Yes.
Well, that's the other thing. I think perhaps, Peter, the facts get in the way of you saying. This is like I'm talking to my teenage kid.
Back to the governor. We do have a governor here, by the way.
Very so nice
person,
to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
If
anybody else were here, he would continue to lie about where he was from.
You grew up in the south side of Chicago to a single mother, right? And you got a scholarship to the prestigious and more than somewhat preppy Milton Academy.
That's right.
Down in Milton. And here's the question. What was that transition like?
How long is this show?
Well,
it was like landing on a different planet.
Right.
I tell the story about how they had a dress code in those days, and boys wore jackets and ties to class. So when the clothing list arrived at home, my grandparents splurged on a new jacket for me to wear to class. But a jacket on the south side of Chicago is a windbreaker. So the first day of class, all the other boys were putting on their blue blazers and their tweed coats, and I had my windbreaker.
Really? Wow.
I want to point out I have figured it out.
Yeah.
You're looking dapper.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to imagine, like, you're from the south side, you come to Milton Academy, you get the blazer straightened out eventually, I would imagine. And was there a moment where you were like, yes, I want to come among these people, become one of them, and then rule over them?
That is a more succinct account than I might give.
What about being governor of Massachusetts in particular, or just being a governor in general, has most surprised you that you did not expect?
Probably the most amazing thing is how you meet people, and I will say, you meet all kinds of people, the mighty and the meek, and everybody is interesting and engaging, but they are very intimate very quickly.
With you?
Yes.
Okay. So people are coming up to you and saying, Governor, I got this problem. Governor, I got this. Governor, I got that.
Yeah, or sometimes it's intimate and inappropriate.
Oh,
and by the way,
go on.
Yes. by the way, one of the most probably important things to do, sort of politically, and I think fulfilling things in many ways, is to visit senior centers.
Yeah.
And seniors vote, and they're really great, and they have terrific insights and so on. But they are deeply flirtatious.
No.
Deeply flirtatious.
So you're telling me?
I have had my backside pinched by any number.
No.
Yes.
Yes. I remember once I went into this one senior center in the eastern part of the state, and this woman came up to me and she said, Governor, she said, I'm a cougar.
Whoa.
And I didn't know what she was talking about, so I said, I'm a Leo.
No. That is hilarious.
It's my wife as well. She tells a story about going to an event at a senior center during the last campaign, and there was an older gentleman in the audience, and he said to her, come closer. And she was introducing her, walking around, shaking hands and so forth. And she came a little closer, and he said, come closer. And she assumed he was having trouble hearing.
Yeah.
And she came closer, and he said one more time, come closer. And she did, and he said, will you sit on my lap?
No!
So, it's rough out there, everybody.
Well, Governor Patrick, it is a delight and an honor to talk to you here in this beautiful place in the state that you, in fact, govern. But we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
What this festival needs is Burning Anchorman.
We're at Tanglewood, of course, a wonderful outdoor arts venue in Massachusetts. And while there are indeed several naked people out there dancing under the influence of powerful psychedelics, we've got nothing on Burning Man. That, of course, is the annual art festival and hippie magnet that's taking place as we speak in the desert of northern Nevada. We're going to ask you three questions about Burning Man. If you get two right, you want to prize one of our listeners. Bill, who is Governor Patrick playing for?
Eric Forish of Westfield, Massachusetts.
All right.
Eric.
Etc. First, have you ever been to Burning Man? Many have.
I have not. I've been to Westfield.
All right. All right. First you're going to be a burner, which is what they call people who go to Burning Man, you have to learn the lingo. Which of these is a real word that if you hear it in Black Rock City, that's the encampment where Burning Man takes place, that people will understand you if you use it? Which of these is a real Burning Man word? Is it A, plinth, B, moop, or C, deodorant?
Moop.
Moop. Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
And that is the correct answer.
There you go!
Moop is a Burning Man word. It means matter out of place, right? They're very into the whole leave no trace ethos. So it refers to moop as anything that doesn't really belong at this alkali desert, which is basically anything but dirt. Next question. Burning Man, despite its reputation for anarchy, actually provides lots of services to its attendees. For instance, there is a group called the Black Rock Rangers, and they are there to do, in part, what?
Mooping.
No, they're not. I think they help with the moop, but this is one of their duties is A, remind you to take your daily ecstasy prescription, B, give you an aura massage, or C, just sit and listen to you if you've had a rough day.
Oh, wow. I want to go with aura massage, but I'm going to say C.
You're going to listen to you?
Yes.
That's right.
There you go.
Burning Man can be overwhelming. You can be just a little overwhelmed, and if you need, you can find a guy wearing those Black Rock Rangers. They have little shirts that says Burning Man logo, and they'll talk to you about it.
I've got
to
get me one of those.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
All right, last question. Burning Man isn't just for hippies and stoners. This year, what surprising person said he was going to go? A, noted conservative activist Grover Norquist, who says he wants to enjoy a totally stateless paradise.
My college classmate. Buddy.
Was he really?
No.
Or B, musician Justin Bieber, who wants to enjoy the famous kids play area at Burning Man. There is one. Or C, the Prince of Wales, because what the hell?
Wow.
I'm going to say Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber is going to go to Burning Man to play in the kids' play area. Yeah. No, it was Grover Norquist.
Wow.
Grover Norquist, as you may know, your college classmate, very well-known button-down conservative activist, very opposed to taxes, big government. And he says that he wants to go to Burning Man because it represents his ideal of what happens when you don't have an oppressive state telling people what to do.
Wow.
And I don't know.
There's anarchy at Burning Man?
There is. Actually, no. It's actually very well-regulated, apparently. Uh-huh. But don't tell Grover.
Yeah.
Bill, how did Governor Patrick do in our quiz?
2 out of 3, which means you won. All right.
All right.
Good for Eric.
Congratulations, Governor.
Congratulations, Eric.
The Honorable Deval Patrick is the governor of the great Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Governor Patrick, what a pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
To have
Thank
you here.
You.
You're awesome. Thank you. Governor Deval Patrick. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Subaru, featuring the all-new Subaru Legacy. It's not just a sedan, it's a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years, and Lumber Liquidators Hardwood, Bamboo, and Cork Flooring with a Floor Finder app for iPad and iPhone. Learn more at LumberLiquidators.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Adam Felber, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at Tanglewood in Lenox, Massachusetts, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. In just a minute, Bill strips off all his clothes, paints himself red, puts on some goggles, and heads to the Rhyming Man Festival in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roy, scientists reported this week in an interesting memory experiment in which they were able to use a laser to replace bad memories in mice with good memories.
And mice have lots of bad
memories. Oh, they do. Oh. It's something in mice. Now, put that aside.
Because, the time.
But how the laser...
I can't go back there, man!
It was like I was trapped in a maze!
Right turn, left turn, right turn, left turn! Oh, my God! Where's my cheese? Just give me the cheese! Benny just kept badgering me and badgering me and badgering me.
Now, what I want you to do is I want you to forget about the bit about changing good memories into bad with the laser. We don't know what that was about, and maybe it'll be useful someday. What we were interested in is how, because they needed to do this experiment, they needed to give the mice a bad memory, which they did with an electric shock, but they needed to also create a good memory for the mouse to conduct these experiments, and they gave each of the male mice what?
A memory of a female mouse.
Well, not a memory. Well, they did, but not just one. I'll give you a hint.
Oh.
It's sort of like a message à toi.
A memory of doing it with two female
mice? Yeah, they basically... They Whoa. Basically, in order to give these mice good memories that they could then experiment with, they gave the mice threesomes. They
Whoa. Rented.
Wow. It's always been a fantasy of mine. Never said it out loud. It's like these guys know me.
So what we imagine is like,
I'll be
is
right
like
back.
The scientists are sitting around, right, and they're thinking about what would give a mouse a good memory. And just, you know, as one of the scientists was about to say, well, we could go with cheese, another scientist shouts out, threesome! Threesome!
Yeah. One scientist said, how about fishing with their dad?
And the mice all said, no, no, no.
No, 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 no. Listen to the first guy.
Well, what's the bad memory? Do we know?
Oh, it was the electric shock.
Just the shock.
The bad memory was being on a wheel while the guy with the threesome was in the other tank.
Trying to get over there to join in. You don't get anywhere.
I feel like I'm getting closer.
Roy, spies who are trying to listen in on private conversations now have a new tool at their disposal. Sophisticated new technology developed at MIT will allow them to eavesdrop on people using what?
Drones?
No.
Oh, it is. It's a high-tech kind of thing?
Well, it's high-tech, but it actually relies on an element in the process that's very low-tech and familiar. Maybe I'll give you a local hint. Here in Massachusetts, you might use Cape Cod brand to eavesdrop.
Cape Cod brand potato chips.
Potato chips is the answer, yes. Scientists at MIT have figured out a way to eavesdrop on conversations by filming a bag of potato chips in front of the person talking. Their cameras are so incredibly accurate and high definition that they can catch vibrations in the bag that computers can then translate back into the sound that made the vibration, right? So all you need is a film of the person's potato chips or any other sort of flexible object around them while they're talking.
How close
does the bag have to be?
Yeah. If you're going to film the bag, why wouldn't you just come over with a tape recorder? Why wouldn't you just turn the... So people are on a quilt out picnicking, and they have a bag of chips, and there's somebody with a camera filming their chips?
Why does he just turn on the microphone and the camera?
Well, precisely. Just turn and go,
And what if they aren't eating potato chips?
Well, then they get away with it.
Yeah. Then as a nation...
Here's my question. If you can film the bag of potato chips, why can't you film their lips? Or is this just for, like, really corpulent mobsters who hold that bag right up to their mouths?
To hide from the cameras.
You know...
Well, you know what's going to happen is the really sophisticated criminals are going to start picnicking with Pringles.
Right. What are you going to do now, coppers? I got a can.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Maggie Dunbar from Roslindale, Massachusetts.
Roslindale, Massachusetts? We have a lot of Massachusetts callers this week, as only appropriate. Well, where's Roslindale?
Roslindale is a neighborhood of Boston.
Oh, it's in Boston.
Yes.
Oh, you are. So you're Bostonian.
Yes.
And what do you do there in the hub?
I'm a medical biller.
A medical biller.
Yes. I'm the one that sends out the bills.
Oh. First I thought she said medical bowler, and that would have been so much better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Bowl for health. Welcome to the show, Maggie. We're glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
Curtis is going to perform for you right now three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two limericks, you will be a winner. But before we start, Bill, I understand that you have something you want to say.
Well, I do. I've been here for a few months. And I got to say, Peter, that I don't think I have captured the subtlety or the elegance or the poetic power of those limericks. So I've decided to take a lesson from the master, if that's okay. I'd like to bring him in right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Carl Castle!
It's good to see you, Carl.
Thank you, Peter.
It's been too long. Carl, how have you been enjoying since you sort of became our scorekeeper emeritus, how have you been enjoying your extra free time?
Extra free time?
Yes.
I'm a married man. I don't have any extra free time.
I understand.
I don't mean that, darling.
Well, Carl, Bill has brought you in to give him and I think all of us a master class in performing limericks. Are you ready to do it?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Let's have the first limerick.
This Russian home loan for our flat has no toaster or warm welcome mat. But just to be nice, They help us chase mice. The bank's going to lend us a...
cat.
A cat, yes, very good. Mm. Russia's largest bank, known as Sberbank, one letter away from being a different kind of bank entirely, is offering a free cat with every new mortgage loan they give out. Customers can pick from a selection of 10 different cats that'll be delivered to their home, ready to destroy the furniture just as soon as the movers bring it in. There is a catch before you get excited. I want to go to Russia to get your mortgage. You have to give the cat back afterwards.
Oh.
What?
It's only a loaner.
That's going to be a pretty jaded cat.
What kind of person out there, even in Russia, is like, oh, I need a cat.
Right.
What's a simple way to get one? I know. I'll get a home loan. All right, here is your next limit.
At 6, my alarm goes beep, beep, but out of my bed, I don't leap. It's a federal crime to start school at this time, 'cause teens need more hours of...
sleep, indeed! The American Academy of Pediatrics is recommending schools start later in the morning so teens can have their recommended 9.5 hours of sleep every night. Teens finally have an ally in the war against ever getting out of bed. Here is your last limit.
We cavemen have many travails, yet we blaze Epicurean trails. We've had escargot millennia ago. Yes, cave dwellers often ate...
Snails,
yes, very good. Thought the French were culinary leaders with their frog legs and escargot. According to archaeologists, though, cavemen in Spain were eating snails 10,000 years before their snooty French neighbors. Now, this is getting headlines everywhere. Oh, my gosh, cavemen eat snails. It is not surprising that cavemen ate snails. What is surprising that we still do.
Ah, yeah.
This is the 21st century. We have Taco Bell. It's right over there. Carl Castle, how did Maggie do on our quiz?
Maggie had 3 correct answers, Peter, so she's a prize winner.
Congratulations, Maggie.
All right.
Maggie, thank you so much for playing. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carl.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Adam has 3, and Paula and Roy each have 2.
All right. We have flipped a coin, and Roy has elected to go first. So, here you go, Roy. The clock will start when you begin your first question. Fill in the blank. At an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council, the U.S. claimed that Russia lied about its military activity in blank.
Ukraine.
Right. This week, U.S. officials announced the first human trial of an experimental blank vaccine.
Oh, Ebola.
Right.
Ebola.
The sister of the surviving Boston Marathon bombing suspect was arrested this week for blank.
Threatening to bomb someone.
Indeed. Police in Pennsylvania have confirmed they evacuated a local Whole Foods because of a blank.
A partial food that was found.
No. That would be a threat to Whole Foods. A suspicious accordion left nearby.
Wow.
For the first time in its history, the blank index rose above 2,000.
The Standard & Poor's 500.
Indeed, S&P. Breaking Bad and Modern Family were the big winners at this week's Blank Awards.
Emmys.
Yes. A man in Britain accused of indecent exposure says he couldn't possibly have done it because blank.
Because his private parts are thoroughly decent.
No. You're close. He says he couldn't have done it because he's not well endowed enough.
Oh.
The man is specifically accused of walking around wearing shorts that were so short that he was exposing himself to the world, if you will. But he claims his miniature equipment is not sizable enough to extend that far.
Oh.
And this is even better. His wife took the stand to defend, to testify to this very fact. And she was up there, she was saying, no way, absolutely not. It couldn't have happened. Bill, how did Roy Blunt do in our quiz?
Roy got 5, right. 10 more points, and he now has 12 points and the lead.
Excellent. Well done, Roy.
No.
All right, Paula. You're up next, Paula.
formidable.
You're up next, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
This week, Israel and Gaza celebrated the creation of a new long-term blank agreement.
Ceasefire.
Right. The U.S. government is investigating reports that a second American has been killed while fighting for blank in Syria.
ISIS.
Yes. This week, Apple announced an event where it's speculated they will unveil their new blank.
iPhone 6.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking. A British man is recovering after fleeing the scene of a burglary and accidentally hiding in a blank.
A vending machine.
A wasp's nest.
Oh!
After she stopped breathing during surgery, comedian blank was hospitalized in New York.
Joan Rivers.
Right. After 9 years and about 9,000 adopted kids, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie finally blanked.
They got married!
Right! China's plan to live broadcast a panda birth had to be canceled when it was discovered the expectant mother was blanking.
She was faking it.
She was faking the pregnancy to get better treatment. This panda had all the classic signs of pregnancy, morning sickness, snapping at her mate, and she gave up her normal diet and started eating exclusively Baby Gap catalogs. But now experts are saying that the panda was consciously faking its pregnancy in order to get better food and a cushier pen.
I think that's so crazy. If a panda is that clever, I say, how do they know it's a panda?
Yeah.
You think it could be a person in a panda suit?
I think so. That's ridiculous that a panda would fake. How does it even know that you get good stuff? It's a long ways around to pretend to be pregnant. Yeah. She was getting more bamboo. Yeah. Right? She could go to Pier 1. She could throw pillows as well.
Bill, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula got 6 right for 12 more points. She now has 14 and the lead.
Hey. All right, then. So how many, then, does Adam Felber, our most winningest panelist for the years, how much does he need to win this time?
Adam needs 6.
Here we go, Adam. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Canadian donut chain Tim Hortons was purchased by fast food giant blank for $11 billion.
Burger King.
Right. Despite not having a successor, Hamid Karzai announced he would step down as president of blank.
Afghanistan.
In the wake of the protests in Ferguson, President Obama ordered a review of federal programs that send blanks to police departments.
Military equipment.
Right. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said regulators will investigate what caused Time Warner Cable's massive blank outage on Wednesday.
Internet.
Right. Repairs are being scheduled after road workers in Britain painted blank on the street at a bus stop.
Median lines.
No, they painted the words bup stop. Investigators are saying a failed cell phone call may offer some clues to the location of the famous missing blank flight.
Malaysian Air flight.
Right. People are flocking to a new store in Kosovo which sells clothes based on the distinct personal style of blank.
Hamid Karzai.
No. Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
A landlord in London has been fined for renting out an apartment that is blank.
Already occupied.
No. It is a nice apartment, and it's inexpensive, but it is only accessible by crawling through a hole in the attic. Huh. The top floor apartment was being rented for just $700 a month. That's a fantastic deal in London. But to enter the unit, the couple who lived there had to crawl through a hole above the stairs that was just 2 feet by 3 feet in size. Imagine if you were a single guy and you lived there. Hey, babe, want to climb back to my place? Bill, did Adam do well enough to win?
Well, he got 5 right. Yeah. He got 10 more points, but not enough to win. No. He's got 13. Paula is the winner.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that the Ice Bucket Challenge is old news, what next big fundraising campaign will go viral? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Angie's List, where consumers can browse, buy, and schedule local services online. More at angieslist.com. Esurance, with a smartphone app that lets customers take care of their car insurance on the go. Esurance, welcome to the modern world, esurance.com. And Source America, its Pathways to Careers program matches skills with employment options for people with significant disabilities. SourceAmerica.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our brand new intern is Kelsey Swiss Chartison. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Our technical director is Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy N. Our production coordinator is Mr. Robert Newhouse. Special thanks to the crew at Tanglewood and Lenox, Massachusetts. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what is the next big viral fundraiser? Roy Blunt Jr.
The Wedgie Challenge, which draws attention to prostate problems.
Paula Poundstone.
It'll be the Lego Bin Challenge to defeat OCD. People take their kids' big plastic container of Legos and dump them over their heads and just freak out.
And Adam Felber.
It's the Ice Cube Challenge, where you raise money to combat gang violence by dropping noted hip-hop stars on your head.
And if any of those things happen, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Special thanks to Chris Schaefer at Cranwell. Also, to thanks to Chris Rui Gomez with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Thanks also to Adam Felber, Paula Poundstone, Roy Blunt Jr., and our very own immortal Carl Castle. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. It's good to be back with you. We will see you next week in Chicago. This is NPR.